Hey, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're cracking open Help Me by Marianne Power. Sophie, have you ever secretly wanted to just throw all your problems at a self-help book and see what sticks?
Oh, all the time. And honestly, that's exactly what Marianne does. She's a freelance journalist in London, drowning in anxiety and debt, and she decides to spend a whole year living by a different self-help book each month. It's a confession, not a manual, and it's hilarious and painful at the same time.
Right, because on paper her life looks fine. She has friends, a career, a flat, but inside she's a mess. So she's tried therapy, wine, retail therapy, and nothing works. So she goes all in on the self-help aisle.
And she doesn't do it halfway. She follows every rule, does every exercise, even when it feels ridiculous. She's deeply skeptical, but also desperate. That combination makes for some really honest moments.
The first month is positive thinking. She has to make vision boards and repeat affirmations. The problem is her brain fights back. Every time she tries to think something nice, a voice screams all the reasons she's a failure.
That part got me. She stands in her kitchen staring at a picture of a dream holiday and feels like a total fraud. But by the end of the month, she realizes that the act of looking for things to be grateful for has started to shift her attention, even a little.
Yeah, it's a small crack in the wall of her negativity, and that's enough to keep her going. Then comes the assertiveness book, and that's where I really fell for her.
Oh, the people pleaser month. She says yes to everything, lends money she doesn't have, takes on work she doesn't have time for. The book tells her to learn to say no, and she finds it absolutely agonizing.
She rehearses difficult conversations in the mirror. Her stomach churns every time she tries to assert herself. She's convinced she's being rude and selfish. But then she forces herself to follow through, and the world doesn't end.
Right? People actually respect her more. She realizes she confused being nice with being a pushover. That fear of rejection was driving her to betray her own needs. Such a huge lesson woven into a super awkward month.
Then there's the money book. She's deeply in debt, avoids looking at her bank balance, spends impulsively to comfort herself. The shame of it keeps her from facing head on.
The book makes her confront every penny she owes. She has to make a budget, track spending, call creditors. It feels like punishment, but also relief. Because for the first time, she's taking control of something that was controlling her.
And she realizes her financial chaos isn't really about money. It's about avoidance, fear, and this deep belief that she doesn't deserve to be secure. That's when she starts to feel a sense of agency she hasn't felt in years.
The months roll on. Meditation is nearly impossible because her mind is a chattering monkey. Decluttering forces her to confront the physical mess that mirrors her internal chaos. And the purpose book sends her into an existential spiral.
Right, because she has no idea what her purpose is. She spent so long just trying to get by that she's never allowed herself to dream. The book pushes her to experiment, and she starts writing for fun again, taking walks in nature. It feels frivolous, but also alive.
And through all of this, she's brutally honest. She gets drunk when she's stressed, falls off the meditation wagon, has screaming fights with her mother. The books contradict each other, and sometimes the advice feels more like a burden than a help.
But she starts noticing patterns underneath all the techniques. Taking responsibility for your own life. The power of small, consistent actions. Being kind to yourself while you're trying to change. You can't control everything, but you can control how you respond.
The most profound shift comes when she reads about vulnerability and shame. She has to look at the deepest, most painful parts of herself. The fear that she's not good enough, the belief that if people really knew her, they'd reject her.
And the book says the only way out of shame is to talk about it. So she tells a close friend the truth about her financial situation. She admits how scared and lost she feels. And instead of rejection, she gets compassion.
That moment is everything. Her friend doesn't judge her. She hugs her and shares her own struggles. Marian realizes that her deepest fear, that she's uniquely flawed and unlovable, is actually a universal human experience. Everyone is hiding something.
So by the end of the year, she's not a perfect, enlightened, debt-free superwoman. She's still messy and anxious. But something has changed. She's no longer waiting for someone else to save her. She's not hoping the right book or relationship or job will finally make her happy.
She learns that happiness is not a destination, it's a practice. Showing up for yourself every day, even when you don't feel like it. Being honest about your struggles and asking for help. Forgiving yourself and trying again. Accepting that life is uncertain and uncomfortable and that you can handle it anyway.
The self-help books didn't give her the answers. They gave her the tools to find her own answers. And the most radical thing she did was stop trying to fix herself and start accepting herself. That's the takeaway I'm holding on to. It's okay to be imperfect. You just have to keep going.
And if you want to explore more stories like this, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles, and you can read or listen to them in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. Marian Powers' year ends with her still in debt and still anxious, but she's learned to live with her imperfection and love herself anyway. That's the real work, and it stays with you long after the last page. We'll see you in the next one.